gold.
Nonsense.
The golden god!
And he dragged you two into this nonsense?
I volunteered.
And her gold is not in her. She's a diamond.
If it's on me, I'm not going to do it.
This is another edition of the world's greatest podcast. I am your host, Charlie Reifenberger. This is my brother in arms,
Mr. John Andrew Miller.
And this is Golden Nonsense.
Look at the gold!
Today we have a couple of very highly esteemed guests. We have our good old friend, Mr. Tommy Oler.
Hello, all back right. From the dead.
Didn't know you were dying, dude. All right, hell yeah, he's back.
Also joining us today.
Last time I was here? Never mind, go ahead.
Very highly esteemed guest, friend of mine from back in Atlanta.
Hell yeah.
Mr. Adam Smith, everybody.
What's up, Adam y'all? Smith. ATL, baby.
That's the most generic ass name. I thought I had a generic name, but Adam Smith.
John Miller and Adam Smith.
Yeah, the middle one's Christopher also.
Oh, Adam yeah. Christopher Smith.
This man, you in a lineup, you're impossible to find.
And white as fuck.
Yeah, there. I don't know. You're over here. Your name is so white that I'm like, really?
Who, my name?
No. Adam Smith. That's a trick name.
Yeah, it is.
Adam Christopher Columbus.
Yeah. This guy's a psyop.
My name is Mike Hunt.
for the audio listeners, Adam is what are you, half Korean?
Half chink, half white. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what kind of chink specifically?
Chinese.
Oh, no. Okay. Chink is very specific to the Chinese.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Right. Yeah. Yes.
See, I think the term you're looking for is slant.
No.
Okay.
That's the catch all for all Chiga. Asians.
I'm a chig guy. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Softer Asian.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
This man is a foreign agent. He's Adam Smith. This is. This man.
That's a fake name.
This is.
Yeah.
I want to see a passport. I want to see.
That's, yeah, you sounds like somebody who was a settler, like somebody who conquered America, one of the first whites.
Yeah, my dad, John Smith.
Yeah.
Is your dad actually John Smith?
My dad's name is David Smith.
David Smith. Damn. Okay, well, look. All right. Well, Adam, everyone knows each other here, but we don't know you collectively. You know, Charlie knows you.
This is an American situation. You guys seen the show, The Americans?
You quit bullying our guest, bro. He's
look,
new.
Look, my mom's from Ecuador. Yeah,
I know. You're fucking fake Spanish, too.
We got a half Ecuadorian and a half Chinese
guy.
Yeah,
I'm a spy. You got two spies on the show.
So that means we're half white on this show.
We are half white
on
the show.
We're exactly 50% white. Half of each of you guys and then me. And that's good. We like to keep it around there.
Look colored. So look, okay, Adam Smith, right? You're a comedian,
I'm a comic out in L.A., but yeah, born and raised in Memphis.
Okay,
moved to Atlanta to go to school.
What school? Emory.
I did go to Emory.
Oh, I was a guest, bro. I was a fucking guest. hot money.
Emory. Yeah, I didn't have the grades to get into Emory, so I went to Emory State. Oh yeah, Emory, and then Georgia State for grad school.
Okay. What'd you study? Who are you?
I'm a fucking finance bro.
Oh,
I was
no.
not Chinese enough to finish my math degree. I got a minor in actuarial science.
Actuarial science? What the fuck is that?
I had just nerdy Asian Chinese math shit. No, but I got, I'm just a finance bro. I'm more white than I am actually Asian. And then I did.
If you're more Asian, you'd be stealing.
Stealing what?
I don't know. Tech? I have no idea.
stealing secrets?
Stealing some patents, Bitcoin.
Patents, trade secrets?
And then I did a little stint on reality TV. So that kind of gave me the like an entertainment industry bug. Figured I could be famous.
So I know you were on...
I went out to L.A. to do stand-up. And
after reality TV?
Yeah.
Is that a traditional
It started
path?
With you were on America's Next Top Model.
Yeah,
that was the first
America's
one.
America's Next Top Model.
So this is a professionally hot man that we're sitting next to.
Hey,
he is
nice.
I didn't recognize.
He
I just
is
thought
professionally
he was,
attractive.
I just thought he was just biracial.
You thought
these
just
cameras
handsome.
Are on? Are these for show?
They're on.
They
we can
are,
see
right,
you.
What up?
Okay. I didn't know. I didn't know they had guys on there.
What did you place on Next Top Model?
I mean, it's fucking 10 years ago, if anyone's watching out there. But right. Yeah, so it's not like bragging. But you know, I did almost win the shit. But,
almost
yeah.
Won?
Oh, nice.
Third place, second place?
Third place. Yeah.
Oh, no, that is almost there.
Pretty cool.
That's
America's
cool.
Next next top model.
Next to next. Yeah.
So if you would have won, what would you gotten? Like to sleep with Tyra Banks or what? Like how does that work as a male model?
I fucked that bitch like episode 4, man. Yeah, no, that's why I didn't win. You know, they had to sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can't be piping the host.
She wanted to be on top. You know what I'm saying?
Hey. Boom. Hey.
Is there a rim shot fucking thing on that? Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. That's okay. Wrong. We got to wait for this one.
Yeah. You always got to sneak that dad right, joke.
Say it again.
Man, you know, fucking Tyra Banks wanted to be on top. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that bitch episode 4. I want to be on top.
Right, yeah. Man.
That's a dad joke for you.
No, man. God. When I first met Adam, we were hanging out, and he showed me the tape that he sent in to America's Next Top Model.
Oh, you saw the casting video?
It was so fucking funny, dude. It was just him dicking around with his boys. Like, it wasn't like I'm like posing for a picture. Dude, you were doing this shit where you were pouring a beer on your head.
Oh, yeah. Shout out beerontthehead.com. Yeah, if you want to follow the Instagram, at beerontthehead. No, the whole thing was a joke. Like, just getting cast for the show. The whole thing was a joke. It wasn't a comic at this point, but...
That was some of the funniest shit I ever seen, man. His boys were just in like public places, and they would just be in the middle of a bar, like people all around, and they don't know. Other people don't know that there's a camera,
right?
And he's just standing there, just starts being a part of
your on your own head or somebody else?
Oh, I mean,
on his own head.
It was a movement. I'm telling you,
he said it was the move.
It was a movement. You know, I'll tell you what, trying to get some. I still think this time. You know, this is better than
where do you guys
want to
be?
Icing.
Where do you guys want to be on the list?
Oh, let me see.
Johnny?
John.
You going to put us?
There we go. It's beer on the head. Still kicking today.
Three.
Beer on the head.
Look at this hot young man right here. You were a sexy boy.
Let me see.
No dad bod.
Look how hot this dude was.
What? Oh, that's... What?
Wow. Wait a second.
That's the CEO speech right there. I don't know. This is the beer in the head.
I'm just letting him see how hot you were.
There. You just kind of pour beers on
your
head.
Oh, wow. All of them are pouring beers on their head in public places. This was a thing.
That's a thing, yeah. Pretty bro.
I love 2014. What year were you on it? I guess it was 10 years
that,
ago. So
that
it
was about 10 years ago. Cycle 21.
So like, it was good and in, like, it had been on for a while.
I think it was on the decline, mm-hmm. which is like why they started putting guys on the show.
Oh, okay, okay.
They're like, these bitches are boring.
Yeah, I think Tyra Banks was almost done with the show at that point.
We need some interesting
then,
people
like, right
on the
before
show.
She sold it to like VH1. Like that was my season. They were like, all right, let's just like let's try to get some guys in here. Let's try to get some frat bros like in here to see if it like livens up this. And then she sold it to VH1 after my season,
and they killed.
Which I don't know if I had anything to do with that, but yeah. And then it was kind of no more. And then
like,
I think
oh
it got revived.
God, this
but,
fucking dude ruined it. Sell it off.
That is
so. You done any other television other than that?
After that, they cast me on The Bachelorette.
Oh, cool.
And then Temptation Island.
Nice.
But it was The Bachelorette was first, and then I actually not fucking around. I failed the drug test and failed like the STD test
for Bachelorette.
Bachelorette.
So you didn't even make it to the mansion.
No, I did. Bachelorette. I did fail the drug test and STD test on both of them, but the Bachelorette actually they blackballed me because they were like we don't want you because you were on Top Model.
Yeah,
like you might be in it for the wrong reasons.
Right,
you
know? Right.
And I was like, y'all reached out to me. I was like, I didn't.
Yeah,
like, I didn't. I was like, y'all reached out to me because I was on the show. I was like, I did not apply for the show. They flew me out.
They
like,
gaslit you
from Atlanta to LA twice, and they had me quit my job in Atlanta. You remember that stupid company I was working for, After Six?
No,
it was just the
promotion.
The party company. Yeah, there. It was. Just, anyways,
dude, it was fun.
I quit that job to go do The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And then, like, literally, you know, the week before they were supposed to find me out, they said, oh, we don't think you're in it for true love.
Did you even make it to the mansion?
No, so I was not, like, they cut me completely. So I was like, all right, I'm done with reality TV.
To have to take that shit so seriously is just, like,
so
crazy.
So you had one season and you had two tryouts? basically for two different shows afterwards?
So after Top Model was 2014.
Right.
I was supposed to be on the black chick's name, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Or Rachel.
Oh, right. Yeah,
That was the season I was supposed to be on, right?
Yeah.
So they cut me from that. And then, like, afterwards, Temptation Island, which was on, like, USA.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Is kinda, no,
yeah, that was big, yeah.
And you were on that.
That one, I was already in L.A. at that point.
Okay.
You know, again, they reached out to me, went through the whole, like, you know, process. And then they're like, we got good news, like, casting love you, but, you know, you failed.
Did they tell you what drugs it was? Did they tell you what STD?
Oh, yeah,
you
had? It's chlamydia. Yeah, whatever. Just you know, your garden, garden variety.
HIPAA violation. That's a HIPAA violation.
Oh man,
you asked him.
There's nothing serious. And then they were like, you got to pass. Like you know, it's a Disney thing. I was like,
I'll sit it out.
So tell me.
I'll sit it out for a week. I'll be better.
When they told you you failed the STD test, were you like, oh, damn, I got an STD? Did you know?
I mean, you want to be safe and, you know, get tested every, like, now and then. But I didn't have insurance at the time. I think it's a good thing. Just get cast for a reality show every, like, other year. And you get like a free STD test.
Dude, for physical? I've only been in there one time to get tested. Just once.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
They stuck a cotton a Q-tip
up your dick.
All the way up my dick.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, not all the way, but like in it. Like, you know.
I just peed and they were like.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got
what?
It. You got it.
They messed you up on
I just
that
got some fucking asshole yeah. doctor. Was like,
no, no.
Was like, it oh, a you want to have sex?
Some masochist.
Now
dude?
This is happening.
Was it a dude?
Some masochist.
No, it was a woman.
Just hold your dick.
Actually, she made me do it. She was like, you have to do it. But I'm going to tell you if it's in there far enough.
What type of Medicare is this?
That's crazy. So yeah. Did you have it or not?
No, I had nothing.
And oh, my God.
And she was watching you fucking.
I probably did have something, too. I had something.
Look at you had a freaking Q-tip in your dick. That's what you had.
I had a foreign object.
The two guys that have had chlamydia.
Yeah, that's. It's like a COVID test, but
in the
down
penis.
The urethra.
Wow. In the urethra hole.
It's a COVID test in your dick, bro. Fucking COVID dick.
That's what I got.
Guess how I found out I had chlamydia.
How's that?
You're peeing fire?
No. I think I was just like a carrier for it. Because the girl I was with at the time was like, my stomach hurts. And I'm like,
what do you mean just a carrier for it?
Well, I didn't have anything.
The recessive gene.
I didn't feel bad or have any issues.
He's the mama possum.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm
you're
over
a
here.
Super spreader.
I'm over here like patient zero.
Yeah.
And
asymptomatic chlamydia.
And the girl I was dating at the time was like, my stomach hurts so bad. And I'm like, oh, okay. Go to the doctor.
What's wrong with
she
you?
She goes
bitch?
To the doctor. Comes back. She has chlamydia. And I'm like. How'd you get chlamydia? And right. I'm like, she's like, I mean, I guess you gave it to me. I'm like, hell no, I don't have anything. Stay away from me. And then she's like, you need to go. And I was like, all right, I'll go. So I go and I'm like, I got full blown.
Full blown chlamydia?
Full blown chlamydia. I'm over here walking around just probably coughing on people, giving them chlamydia.
I'm glad you had it because it would have been worse if she had been like, no, you gave it to me, and then you got tested and you didn't have it. You'd be like, bitch, you are a whore.
You're a nasty bitch.
You need to get out of my house right now.
And let me tell you, whenever you take that pill, it makes you feel so sick. I had to take, like, I think it was just one. Did you have to take the pill?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what is it? Penicillin? What do you take?
I shouldn't have said anything. I should have been like,
Your first time, you're like, oh, like, this is all it is. It's literally, you know, just... You know, like a Z-Pack, azithromycin.
Uh-huh.
That's the drug. It's you basically just, you take a Z-Pack and they put it in one pill and you take it. And so once I figured that out, like, you know, boom, easy. You don't even waste money on
no
the fucking going back. Like, that's because the first time they prescribe it to you and they literally just go get it for you there.
Uh-huh.
And like, oh, like what
this
do I do?
So often we have it in the bag.
Yeah.
And then I was like, when can I take the pill? And then like the doctor was like, take it now. I don't give a fuck. Like, you know, she was hot actually. And then you pop it. And then, you know, once you figure out it's just azithromycin, you could just, like, my dad's a dentist, and he could just write me a zithromycin script.
I think my girl can write it.
Say I'm sick, and you just take all five pills, and you just eat them at once.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
Did you life hack for you, bro? Tip.
Did you have to tell other people? Because I was like, I guess I got a message some girls I'd known for the past month.
Oh yeah, those are always fun.
And be like, hey, I always try to shovel like. Hey, this girl I'm with has got chlamydia now, so I just want to make sure that you know.
Oh, no, you don't want to pussy foot around it, dude. Go for the gold, man.
I didn't have it, but somebody I was with had it.
Somebody around me has got it.
I'm a carrier.
I just want to reach out for you.
I'm a carrier of it some kind of way. I don't know how I'm asymptomatic, but I'm a carrier.
I'm not worried about it, but I just feel like I got to tell you just in case.
You're too much of a badass. It just can't even affect you.
So, look, Adam, I'm interested. You told me earlier before we got on the podcast that you run a club, right? A comedy club.
I do, yeah. In Los Angeles, we've been open for a few years now. We opened over COVID.
Okay.
It was it's called Accident on Chaos. If you ever get out to LA, I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to move back here. It's a lot of fun out there, but my family's here, so I'm trying to pick up my club and move it down here, or just pick up the mixers and cables and mics and see what I can do. But you know, it's a good thing out there. I can only fit maybe a tenth. Well, how many people can this room fit?
If standing, I think it's like 300?
That's amazing. I can fit 50 standing, you know, in chaos. So it's literally a corner of this room.
There's a tiny room downstairs that probably will resemble your
club. I think that room is massive compared to his club. He showed me the walk
around.
The ceilings
are real tall. The ceilings are like 25 feet, so it doesn't feel you're not claustrophobic. The ceilings are probably twice as big as this, but it's it's just a little fucking dive bar. We don't even have a liquor license.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you booking people?
Just people come. You know, we run the mics. During the week.
Yeah.
And from there, it's kind of a meritocracy.
Just who's the funniest people on the open mic?
It's a strict meritocracy. And we're just like, look, I don't. People will now that we've gotten some traction. And people will, hit up the Instagram account. I don't even run it. I let someone else run it. I hate Instagram. Maybe I'm just an old guy. I don't know. But they try to send self-tapes, and we say, cool, like, come to the mic. If you kill, a couple of times at the mic, we'll talk. And it's not like we're not paying our comics much, $50 in a bar tab.
Yeah.
Right. But it's at the same time, you get paid. You pay $50 for a set. You're like, all right.
That's good for a spot.
Getting paid to tell some jokes.
That's a good rate for a spot.
The rest of it goes to the fucking rent and the
right.
And the beers that
so how many
that
employees,
I drink there.
So how many employees do y'all got? Is it just you as the
zero,
leadership?
Zero, yeah. I am the CEO and the janitor and everything in between.
That's fucking awesome, man.
I used to actually have a couple people on the payroll when over COVID. I like to call them like pledges.
Unpaid interns.
Right. Yeah. That's trade some work.
That's what we need. I was just telling John that I was like, we need a pledge.
Yeah.
I literally said pledge. I said we need a pledge is what we need.
I never graduated. I mean, I did graduate, but in my head, I never graduated.
So they trade work for time.
It's just like I actually did have some people that I actually paid. I'm not a good boss. I mean, I'm like, I just make up shit for them to do, and I feel bad. I'm not like, go scrub the floors, but you run out of shit to do at the comedy club. It's just like, set up the chairs, make sure. I don't know. So I was like, this is stupid. We're not actually a legit club, so I don't need a payroll.
In your mind, what makes you a legit club versus not?
No, I said we're in my head, if we won, like, if... I never thought of it. I guess like getting a liquor license, I think, would like in a lot of people's heads, you know, people are like, wait, so I could get in trouble if I come to the club? I'm like, yeah, we don't card. We don't have a website. Yeah, we don't have a website. Our Instagram is our website.
This podcast has a website. Yeah. We don't need one. It looks like shit. Nobody goes there.
Yeah. No one goes there.
But we do have a website.
It's live on the internet right now.
I got Sunday ticket, though. Does that count?
Yeah, the NFL Sunday.
Pretty good.
Ticket.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is more important than a liquor license.
Okay, but are they coming to watch football, or are they? Nah,
I mean,
watch comedy?
People come Sundays to watch the game. Yeah, I'm a bookie on the side. So that's kind of what funds my like operations out there. Yeah,
you know, I've never understood how someone could be a personal bookie and then tell folks they were a bookie. Right? Or does it feel like you become like the target?
Well, I mean, it's not like it used to be illegal before like the federal ruling came like probably like 2019. They were like kind of like weed in California.
They're yeah,
like you know, okay, it's legal now federally.
Yeah,
do whatever the fuck you want. So now gambling isn't legal in California yet, but it is quickly. I mean, do y'all use DraftKings or FanDuel or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
So I'm losing a lot of business to that.
I'm
so
sure.
It used to be, I was, you know, making free money off that. All my idiot fraternity brothers,
damn,
betting on my site. I got my own website. I have my own website for my sports book, not for the the comedy club.
You see, government. You see the victims of gambling legalization right here.
Right. Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Entrepreneurs.
Look who is being hurt.
The little guy.
Yeah. Exactly, Charlie. Thank you.
The face.
Okay, so the bookie business on the side is being slowly atrophied, and
yes,
the comedy
yes.
club business is not legitimate in the eyes of others.
The club, I would say, is taking a hit because of the high rent in LA, but two, yes, my book is dwindling.
Yeah.
Therefore, I can't.
What part of town are you guys in?
We're right smack dab in the middle of Hollywood.
In Hollywood,
yeah. I can pretty much walk to the store.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
That's kind of the mecca, but
yeah,
it's
you mean like runoff from them, like anybody?
Yeah. We had our no pun intended, our biggest name. We had Brad Williams one night.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah. We had Dean Del Rey.
Nice.
Who used to open for Bill Burr.
Yep.
He had Eddie Ift.
I like Eddie Ift.
Yeah, Ift.
I got to hang out with him one time.
Earl Skakel, another.
Yeah.
You know Earl Skakel, mm-hmm. Comedy Store regular. So we do, and then crazy, we didn't have Jeff Ross like go up, but like I got a picture of it. Like it was one night, it was a big show on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I guess a girl he was banging like was booked on the show.
Sweet.
Oh, hell yeah.
I didn't book her. I can't even remember her name at this point.
Yeah. He probably can't remember
like,
her name.
Cause it wasn't like my show. Cause a lot of times I just let other people do shows.
Jeff Ross, you know.
And so they booked the whole lineup, and then I'm just kind of, I just produced, you know? And then I was like, yo, is that fucking Jeff Ross? And so it wasn't my show. So it was my buddy Mario's show. You know, and I was like, oh, it's fucking Jeff Ross. So we do get a little spillover from the store.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're like, what the fuck is this place? Like, am I going to get robbed or whatever? Because you have to actually cut, like, it's right off of Santa Monica Boulevard, but you do have to kind of like cut down an alley.
Oh, it's an alley?
To get in. Yeah, it's like some cutty in the, you know, cut shit.
That's cool. I think that's pretty cool, actually.
I mean, it sounds like you're primed to be the Coke spot, like the Coke club. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, gambling. Let's get into cocaine.
Yeah, dude.
I'm not telling you how to live your life, man. But
I think there are a couple dealers, like, okay, yeah, you're like literally in the building. But it's a lot. There's a lot of music, like production in the. It's a big building, and we have the unit like at the back of the building.
The corner.
The biggest technical unit. The rest of them are just like, you know, small little offices, little rooms.
Yeah. Studios.
So.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's neat.
But yeah, if y'all ever get out there, fucking, yeah.
Dude.
Love to have you.
I haven't been. I've never set foot in California, but
I haven't either. I've never been to California either.
What's it called again?
Accidental Chaos.
Accidental Chaos.
Yeah, I should have brought some.
Doesn't that sound kind of like
merch.
Golden Nonsense a little bit?
A little bit. A little bit.
Hey, what is. This is golden nonsense.
Yeah. This is golden. Yeah,
this
nonsense.
Is golden nonsense. This is the, you know, we try our hardest to get to a point where we're happy with the fucking bullshit we're talking.
Yeah,
love and
it.
How long are you in Memphis?
I'm heading back April 3rd.
So about a month.
But I'm trying to come back. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so, the only reason I got to go out there because we. Could not come up with the rent for the green room, and we got a little podcast studio out there, mm-hmm. kind of attached. So we have the green room and the podcast studio. So I have to go out there. It's kind of it hurts, but I have to go out there April 15th. We have to be out of the green room and podcast studio. Mm-hmm. So I got to pack all that shit up, put it in storage. Going to keep the main room alive.
Yeah.
But as of now, yeah, we're losing half a club.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's tough.
So, people are still coming. The guys are running it right now for me. Now, dude, I'm kind of thinking, like, hey, then, if, you know, I could move some chaos back to Memphis, maybe.
Well, shit, man.
Maybe I do that.
Everybody's been talking about how bad this town needs a comedy club.
Well, we have two, right? We have the Comedy Junt. And,
yes, we do.
The
Chuckles.
The
Chuckles.
Chuckles.
That's the one. Cordova. My dad's retired now. His dentist office was right next door to Chuckles. I haven't been in there.
It's the quintessential urban club, right? Yeah. It just happens to be in Memphis.
Okay.
And so they have I just found out they're gonna start doing an open mic. Guess what night?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Got some competition.
No, it's not even competition, bro. We're in two parts of town.
Completely different.
Yeah, I mean you're from Memphis, right?
Audiences.
You know, like Midtown Cordova don't overlap
right.
at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's fine.
I mean, whatever they're gonna do, they're gonna do, but we're gonna see because
split up the comics.
Yeah, it's hilarious how, you know,
Chuckles has had an open mic, it seems like, now that they're hitting Tuesday. Every night of the week, except for, like, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. They
over the years, they've had open mics.
Mixing it up.
On, like, Monday.
From what I understand, they put the onus on the host, right?
Yeah.
But the entire responsibility. So it's like, if you don't have 100 people in there on a random night every week, they're like, oh, you suck. And I'm like, well, that's not really how it works. But
I mean, they want you to bring 100 people to an open mic.
I don't know how you even do that.
The thing is, Chuckles is such a massive room.
It's a 400 seater. Like,
yeah.
So for them to even justify having their lights on, they need to have like 100 people in there. Like, that's how big it is. That's
Holy
how open
shit.
It is. They got to have all these people in there just to be able to, like, pay the bill.
Just
to break even. I mean,
are they
open that night?
Are they open every Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah,
they have shows?
Yeah, they definitely have shows. And they have, you know,
famous people come in.
Exactly. Famous,
okay.
Typically, like internet guys and or, like, old school classic black comedians, right? You know, you even had Lavelle Crawford in there a few times. I think, I mean, before he died, your boy, what's his name? Dick Gregory did a couple of appearances there. You know, it's like, it's like I said, it's like, as a black American comic, it's a black club.
Yeah.
So I mean, if someone
reminds me of, you ever go to the Atlanta Comedy Theater?
I did not. No. Laughing Skull was really the only spot.
Yeah, no, the Atlanta Comedy Theater is actually in Norcross. It's not in Atlanta.
Okay. Well, OTP, actually.
But it's it reminds me a lot of that. It's just old school black club, you know, 2-drink minimum always, right?
Yeah.
That's no getting out of that. Same comics come through there. Even the decorations look the same. It's just the same. It's like the vibe is 100%.
And so, and they consistently are able to every weekend they're packing that place out.
I mean, they've been open for how long now? A while.
Almost 10 years.
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Yeah, so I would say that I don't know if they pack it out, but they have enough traction where...
To stay open for
10
years.
And, and then sometimes they be having, like, banger shows where it's just, like, they got, you know, two shows, you know, like, four shows all weekend type deal. You know, two a night for four nights.
I was down here at, what's it called? God, I can't remember. Alex's Tavern.
Yeah.
Oh,
I said Alex's.
Yeah.
I said Alex is having some wings, and these kids were sitting next to me that they looked out of place. They were like preppy. They looked like finance bros is what they looked like.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, what's up, guys? You know, blah blah blah. Like, I'm checking this place out. I was thinking about maybe trying to do a comedy show here, and they're like, oh, you do comedy? That's so cool. What do you think about Chuckles? I was like, it's not really not my place. They're like, oh, shit. We were coming down here because we own the shopping center that Chuckles is in. We were really hoping that it was a good club. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's just a black club. I don't really do black clubs. That's all it is. It's no big deal.
Damn, we own the shopping center. The commercial real estate was in the building.
And they were like, oh, it's not a good club. I'm like, no, it's fine. It's a fine club. It's just not for me.
Backtracking.
Could you imagine just talking shit? It's like, yeah, and the dentist there sucks.
Everybody in that shopping center sucks.
We own it.
I was trying to get some work with them because, you know, I do
commercial HVAC,
mechanical contractor. And so, like, I know they need mechanical contractors. I was, like, you know, hitting them up. And I was looking at all the shopping centers in town they have. It is the, like, shittiest just dumps all over this town.
Oh, really?
It's just like, they're like, yeah, we just buy a whole shopping center for, I don't know, like, a couple hundred grand.
Yeah.
And like, well, this is ours now. And just shithole places that, like, you know. I'm like, sweet. You probably have old, outdated HVAC equipment that needs to be replaced all the time. Like, hit me up.
Keep your ear to the ground on that. Yeah. I mean, maybe if we could come up on a good location.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yo, that's all it is, right? Like, I mean, you have to pick your part of town, because once you, like, submit yourself in a part of town, Memphians don't travel outside their radius too often.
Sure.
Unless it's a special event, you know?
Yeah.
If you're a downtown guy, all right, well, look, I'll come to your show once a year if it's downtown, right? If you're an East Memphis dude, I'm not traveling past the suburbs. I'm definitely not going past Midtown. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just happens to be how they operate, it seems to me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, if you're going to come and bring a club, I'll tell you this, dog. Like, as long as you're in downtown, Midtown, or the burbs, Germantown or Cordova, you'll be fine. Anywhere else, you're in trouble.
Oh, I mean, you know, it's not, again, like, we're just paying rent out there. So it's like, I got no money. You know, it's not like I'm like buying a building. Like, dude, it would literally be me
$6,000 a
taking
month.
Like my mom's like bait, like over my head, is like, move back and I'll help you open a club. It could even be something as small, like, if, you know, we were to be like, hey, like, we want to run a permanent / open mic / bar / club that,
you know,
I don't, even if the capacity wasn't as big as this,
yeah,
that, you know, something like that. So, hey, you know, we'll be in touch.
I think you want to go small. Your place is too small, but just a little bit bigger than
for
that.
For LA,
I mean, just a little bit bigger than that. The Skull is, I think, the prototype of the perfect comedy club.
I love Laughing
Skull. It's just great.
I'll tell you this. Me and Nathan were talking about it and kind of tongue in cheek, but we're like, you know what? We will raise some money and after the festival and buy LaToya out from the Comedy Joint. I don't know if she needs if she's willing to sell, right? But that's a great brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just find a new location. And if I'm not mistaken, the old High Tone, it might be available. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be my complaint, would be the location. So, I mean, yeah, why not?
Yeah. I mean,
the location is not good. It's down. It's like by where I work. I know that part of town.
Yeah, yeah. I used to work down there too. And
it's next to a whorehouse.
Yeah, literally. Like, you'd see the prostitutes walking down the street while you're pulling in.
The track, as we call it in the industry.
So, I mean, how many, I know you said you run another mic tomorrow?
Thursdays. Tomorrow's Charlie Virgos' mic at the Lamplighter.
I don't know Charlie Virgos. Who the fuck was that? Anyway, I had a family friend who knows him.
Yeah.
Was telling me he does comedy. I was like, wait, the barbecue guy?
Yeah, his grandson.
Like, he was like, yeah, right. Okay, cool. So that's his. That's
he's
his
very funny,
tomorrow.
Too.
Yeah, he's funny.
How many?
Yeah.
So, like, how many? I mean, y'all hit mics every night?
There are, I think, four consistent ones with two that are biweekly. They're on Monday nights. There's
the Cove,
which is biweekly. And then Fat Max once a month open mic at Canvas now.
Yeah.
There's my show that's every week, hasn't stopped. Boom.
So we've had just tonight.
Heaven Stops. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And then there's Wednesday night, Charlie Virgos. Thursday night. Oh no, and then there's actually another mic too on Tuesday. There's Oscar P just started on a mic.
Oh, cool.
Wednesday is the lamplighter. Where is the next one on Wednesday? I mean, Thursday is your mic.
Thursday's me every other week.
That's biweekly. And then there's the new one that they put at Slice of Soul, the revamp of that.
Yeah.
Funny
it's kind of been so since I moved here, there's been two open mics that have been consistent. This one here and the one at the Lamplighter on Wednesday nights. Okay. Every week since I moved here, that's been locked in place. Other shit is kind of like swirled around and mixed, you know. Mics have come and gone. There's been periods where we had definitely an open mic every night. Like, we had a Friday open mic that was going pretty good before they shut that one down.
that was actually one of the better ones we had going.
It was going pretty good.
It was fun. And what happened?
KP.
Well, they got rid of the back deck.
They fired
deck.
KP.
So they had this back deck patio with all these chairs, and they were doing it outside, which, you know, it's not the best to do comedy outside, but because of the patio, it was nice. Then they just ripped the whole fucking patio out.
Right, they're supposed to be rebuilding it.
And it was just an empty lot. And so we were still doing comedy just in the...
It's Henry Coleman.
In an empty lot. Oh, what's up?
Oh, it is Henry Coleman. What's up,
bro? What's up, dude? How you doing, brother? That's one of the funniest Memphis comedians we got
Would you say there's more
appearance?
Like comedy fans in Memphis than comics? I mean, like if you throw an open mic, is everyone there?
Look, here's the deal, right? I think comedy in Memphis has a weird, like, redheaded stepchild effect, right? There's so many things happening here that people like use it as like a backup thing, right? In my opinion, as somebody who's been running comedy shows for a long time, I've been doing comedy 10 years. 6 of those years have been back here in Memphis, and then I've been running shows this whole time, right? And no matter the attempt or the effort, right, there's a reason why there's only 2 shows that's maintained, right? Because the expectations that venues have and the proprietors in tune with the people that are at the comedy shows aren't always aligned with the comedians and what comedy is, right? So people don't understand that comedy is mostly experimental here at the ground level, at the amateur level.
Sure.
And then, you know, they always have the expectation of what they see on TV or on their phones, right? Which is like, you know, finished product comedy. Oh, this guy is hilarious, or he's doing crowd work or whatever. Why aren't y'all doing that? It was like, we need a crowd. I was like, well, I don't have a crowd. It was like, because you expect the open micer, who is the promoter, aka me or somebody of my ilk, are to be both, right? To be the host, the promoter, and the guy who's, you know, the promoter and marketer of the same
organizer.
Thing.
Organizer,
but all that shit,
yeah.
Right?
You're the host, the comic, and the bringer. Yeah.
Yeah. All that.
I'm barking, right? I'm headlining. Yeah.
all right. Yeah.
And so there are venues. Shout out to the High Tone and Skinny, because he understands it, right? I think he's been around enough comedy. And
Skinny's great.
He's a cool enough dude to understand that it's a process. And like throughout the lows and the highs of this show, he's been on my side, right? Other venues are like, dude, we've had 3 bad weeks. You know, what's up with the fucking comedy? I was like, well, y'all aren't, you know, taking up the helm with helping promoting, A.
Yeah,
right?
You guys don't post anything on your Instagram.
Right. B, like, without the effort that I'm putting in myself, like I remember when I thought it was a godsend when I heard that Tommy used to be the host of the biggest open mic in the city, right, at the P&H. I was like, you're getting paid? Like I had to generate all my own money every single time. I didn't know that was an option, mm-hmm. right, where a venue would pay you to do a show. And and they have no gumption to do it, right? I've proven that it's possible on an off night, but that's just through, like, you know, effort and learning my own style with advertising and marketing in this town, right? But the average comedy fan is only talked to or only approached either in a very amateurish way, right? Like a shitty flyer or a poorly done ad on Instagram with poor reach, a $10 ad spend. And on the other side, they get hit with like, you know, mid to major touring acts that hit the larger venues, Minglewood, you know, Frank's Forum and Chuckles.
Yeah, Orpheum.
Right, at the Orpheum. And then they see these 4. I mean, shit, me and Charlie went and saw
Jerry Seinfeld at the Orpheum.
Yeah. And
it's great.
It was awesome.
And the audience was great.
It wasn't even full.
It wasn't?
Yeah, it's like no, Seinfeld didn't even
it
sell
wasn't.
Out the Orpheum.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was.
I didn't even realize that.
How do you think I got the tickets, bro?
Well, that's true.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I got 4 free tickets, and I took Nathan.
Somebody wasn't going.
Right, and it was a few people that weren't going. So my point is that, like, comedy in Memphis is taking a back.
It's tough.
Well,
don't move back, is what he's saying.
Hey, man, I'm still considered. I mean, I saw, I didn't go. I saw on TV, Pete Davidson was at Minglewood recently.
Mm-hmm. Last Friday, I think.
I checked, and tickets were only like $35-$40 on like that Game Time app.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. Like, just no one, like, go to shows out here. Like,
it's not that no one's going, right? Because it's like, when you gave me tickets to go see who?
Sam Morril,
right?
Yeah.
That jump was full. Right, that it was fucking full.
Yeah,
and when we and then I saw me and Ross saw Martin Lawrence and like the touring gang that he had of like ragtag comedians. I don't say ragtag; these are all like famous black comedians. But
that was
like,
at the Forum, right?
At the Forum, right? Yeah, that was like 80% full.
That's
but
crazy.
But then when we saw Chappelle and Rock together,
yeah,
right?
They came through. Right?
That shit was absolutely bananas. Yeah. And so it's like the city doesn't give a fuck unless you are already like established.
Yeah.
Right. There's a comic in town named Oscar who has for 2 years in a row tried to
book shows at the Orpheum.
At the Orpheum. Yeah. And he's had to pull out all the stops. I'm talking about like rebook, cut people. If you're not selling 50 tickets on your own.
Changing the lineup. Like,
yeah,
the
just trying to get tickets sold because yeah. I mean, and then I think he's also doing the abbreviated room where they're putting curtains down and whatnot. So yeah, it's a hard sell. Even if you have, like, he has a following in town. He has like fans. Like,
yeah.
Even if you have all that, it's tough.
Yeah, didn't Bert Kreischer do the summer drive-in like
here,
over
yeah.
COVID? Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to fucking come back for that.
I think Nathan went to that and it worked.
I was out of town. I didn't get to go.
I think it worked. I think a lot of people showed up. Yeah. But I think it's just like
at the Redbird Stadium at AutoZone Park.
If you're not like dialed in with like your promotion thing, you know what I'm saying? If you're not like looking like a very professional promotional outlook, the people aren't gonna
because the other side of the coin is Don't Tell,
right,
which is here, and they spend at least $1,000 on Instagram and Facebook ads. And those shows,
and they already have a bunch of followers and
a huge
email list,
and those shows sell out.
They're packed.
Yeah,
they're
charging like $40 a ticket,
and those are here. You know that they find it's like a secret room
all over
and
the place. Yeah,
so it's almost like that. If you want to have a good show, you've probably got to put at least
a grand
in the Facebook Instagram ads,
just on the front end.
Just on the front end, and they do it. They do it in a real quick turnaround. Like they're not putting the ad out until a week before.
Yeah, it might be like four days.
I don't
max.
Even. Yeah,
a
I don't
week,
even think
it's
seven.
Week, it's week of. It's like
yeah.
If the shows are on, if a show's on Friday, they do it on Monday.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me there's a lot of room for. The market's open.
Yeah.
I mean, like
there's
a demand. And
if
it's done right.
Yeah. If you have the
capital. This is unprofessional. I'm going to take a piss real quick.
Go for it.
Run.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. If you have the capital.
Yeah.
And you can be successful. If you got the room and you got the money, I think you can.
If you're spending $1,000 on promotion, you got to sell. Well, I guess you're selling tickets at $40 a pop. You gotta.
That's only 20 bucks would be $800. So 25
people. Yeah, but if you're selling it at 15, if you're selling it at $10 a pop, then you gotta get 100 people just to get your money back.
Yeah,
just.
And the thing is, too, I mean, if you know, like, if you did that for your Thursday show,
yeah,
and you put a big ad spend on it,
yeah,
it would behoove you to get all of their emails as they walk
Absolutely.
Through the door.
Yeah.
Because even if you put like, let's say $800 or something, and it was, and you were charging $5 a ticket.
Yeah.
The money wouldn't be in the money coming in.
Right.
The money would be in
the email list.
The email
address. How do you get people to give you your email?
I mean, I guess whenever they come to the door, you have it right there. Hey, can you have a guy working the door like, hey, can you give us your email? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know? And then you build that. I mean, that's, I know it sounds old, but it still works.
Oh, yeah.
The most effective marketing.
I would love to start building an email.
Yeah. How often have you gotten an email from like Aldo's or Little Italy or something like that, been like, hey, get 15% off? And you're like, I haven't been there
in a while.
Yeah. And imagine putting the fake, like, you can do that for comedy too. If you had an email list, you could say, hey, get 15% off on this comedy show.
Yeah.
They don't know what it, you're literally, I mean, how many people know what a Little Italy pizza cost? We're guessing around like $20, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
But these people don't know what a comedy show costs in Memphis. No. So you can just make up the price. Hey, you're getting 20% off. You're getting 20% off, and then now it's $30. Like, oh my gosh, this is a great deal. $45 show? I guess I'll
give 20.
I'll pay you. They don't know the price. You can make that up, say you're getting a discount, and they'll be like, on a Friday night.
Promoted well, people buy tickets out here. I mean, that's
that's
what we're running into out in LA. Like, you know, you got the store, obviously, and then the Improv and the Laugh Factory. Those are the big three.
Yeah.
Any given night, you can go to the Comedy Store, and depending, you know, the night of the week,
just murder you're row.
For $20.
Yeah.
So I like, for me, it's like I'm doing good, like to sell, you know, a fucking $5, maybe a $10 ticket. Like you know, we had Brad Williams. We were tickets for $15.
Yeah.
And I had to buy a bunch of pizzas and to get some of my regulars to come early to make sure the room was filled.
Yeah.
For fucking Brad Williams, because like Brad Williams didn't have you would expect, I pay Brad Williams $500 because I think I met him at the store.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, we got a little club down the road. And he was like, what do you pay? You know, and I just kind of blurted it out.
I said $500.
And he was like, done.
Nice.
And then needed
it.
Sometimes that'll happen, man.
My buddies, were like, you know, dude, you probably could offer
$250.
You know, less, yeah.
Well, hey, try $250 on the next guy. That's,
yeah, I mean,
that's just learning experience.
$500 where you live.
Yeah, so it's very hard to sell tickets in LA because not only are you competing with all these like big clubs, you're competing with the Dodgers and the fucking Lakers and everything else there is to do in Los Angeles.
Man said the Dodgers.
So have you gotten to perform at any of those other spots?
I've gotten up at the store, believe it or not, 4 times.
Oh, that's fucking awesome, dude.
So I like to say it's because I deserved it, but the first time was just because of fucking Top Model. I changed my Instagram from Adam Top Model to Adam.Smith, and then changed my profile from, you know, I think my profile used to say part-time comic, you know, part-time America's Next Top Model, full-time bro, you know. And so I changed it from Adam Top Model. I took the Top Model off and just put comedian, I still consider myself an open micer before I opened the club. And one of the bookers, you know, from the store, again, not the fucking main room. I'm in the belly room. You know,
the so
you
belly
got,
room, okay.
You got the main room. If y'all ever been out, you got the main room, you got the OR, and then you got the belly room, you know, which is I think capacity is about 110 people.
So like a satellite room type smaller?
You're right. So, back in the golden age in the 70s, it was the women's room, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Mitzi opened it as the belly room.
This
upstairs.
Is for the broads.
Yeah.
So
they can't compete on an equal footing. So
you're not funny enough.
So I did, this is how green I was. This was back in 2000, fucking 18, right when I moved out there. And the booker was like, hey, you're gonna cold open. And I didn't even know what cold open. I didn't even know what cold open.
So there's
like,
there was no hose.
No, well, no, I mean, there was a hose, but you know, I went on. I did my five like while
people were
coming in and like getting their seats, and like the waitresses are still seating people. They're like, yeah, you're gonna cold open, like, you know. I was like, oh, what, like, how cold? Yeah. And then like I did okay, so I got, you know, got invited back. So that was on a Thursday. Nice. Thursday night. The third time, it was a bringer show.
Yeah.
And so now we're still in the belly room. It's a Friday night. They were like, can you bring eight people? And then like, we'll give you a spot. You know, they still, believe it or not, the store still does bringer shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I'll bring I can bring eight. Like, ended up bringing 30.
Nice.
Cause I was like, I'll pay. I paid for half of those tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, you know, people put the store up on this like pedestal that it's like hard to get. No, if like you get in out there.
Well, I mean, it's
like
it's,
I performed technically four times at the Comedy Store, yeah. You know, and again, not the main room.
That's
so,
super cool that you can say that. That's very cool.
Right. And then so I actually like I, you know, technically killed because I brought a third of the room, you know, so the last were hitting, you know, fucking, yeah. You know, so I did like seven. And then the fourth time, you know, now I'm kind of like thinking I'm hot shit. And like, dude, you know, it's my fourth time here at the store. I bombed my ass. Like they left me up there to die. Like they left me up there for like 12 minutes. I didn't stop talking.
Yeah,
it's not like 12 minutes. You know, like at a mic, you know, like I can talk for like an hour. It's not good.
Yeah,
like I have a loose 10 hours. You know, but at the end of the day, you're out there at the store. And your mouth doesn't like move in there, so I come back, and I got it on video. Like, I went back and watched it afterwards, and I was like, it wasn't as bad as I thought. But I was like, yo, Phil, I got my roommate to film it because they're pretty like, you know, they say, you know, no heckling, no filming. If you get caught filming, they come and kick you out. So my buddy got, you know, he filmed it, and I was like, yo, how long is that? He was like, it was bad. He was like, it was a bad, like, you know, at least 12 minutes. I was like, damn it. And then after that, not that they like were like, oh, you're done.
Yeah.
Again, this was more than 3 years ago before I opened the club, but then that kind of humbles you.
Yeah, sure.
To like, just because you got an Instagram account and then like you get booked because I got 100,000 followers, you know, it doesn't mean you're fucking ready
for
the fucking store.
Yeah.
Right.
Get up there in front of an audience that doesn't like what you're putting down.
Man said, I was humbled quickly. Hell
that's
yeah, bro.
What you got.
Very quick.
That's the good thing about this game.
So
man.
How long have you been doing comedy like consecutively?
I'd say, you know, since I moved out there, so 7 years.
Okay, full show.
Nice.
Yeah. I could say that, you know, all right, so we opened the club February 2021. How long have I seriously been doing it? Since February 2021. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
There was, you know, there was stretches, and you know, everyone's got their. Do you count COVID? You
right,
know, yada yada.
I straight up do not count COVID because I didn't perform.
Yeah, you subtract COVID.
Yeah,
yeah, 4 years.
Subtract COVID for me.
Did you guys? Was it all shut down?
LA was very shut down.
Very shut
LA
down.
LA was very
I'm
shut
sure.
down, and that is one of the main reasons why chaos even like took off, because like,
nowhere
you
else
could,
was open.
Like you could go to the park. Like, you know, you and like, you know, people would bring out a speaker and one microphone, like little Bluetooth speaker. That's all there fucking was.
That's brutal.
Like, you could barely eat outdoors.
Yeah.
Like, LA was very, very shut down. I think, you know, here in Atlanta, it was a little more loose, but.
Yeah, it was a little loose here. I mean, I know I started this room right after COVID, October 2020.
Yeah. Because I remember I performed like the night. Like before or two nights before.
The city allowed it?
Yeah, before everything shut down.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there making jokes about coming in a girl's mouth and curing COVID. Like just doing crazy stuff at, I guess, not Meddlesome. Where's the one with the Memphis Made?
Memphis Made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I did like, that was my last show.
Oh, that's the brewery?
Yeah. Hayden brought me up and we're sitting there. People are like coughing and sneezing. I'm up there. joking about COVID.
I think the cure is in my penis.
Yeah.
The cure to this disease is inside
my
dick.
She shut up. Just stuff like that. I'm just saying stupid stuff.
She was healed miraculously.
And next thing you know, it shuts down. And then I don't think I performed until like the summer. I don't think I did a spot until the summer. Like, and by then it was like, you know, we, whenever I got to whatever the venue was, it was like, okay, this is what everybody has to do.
Yeah.
I think it was here. I think.
Yeah, 6 feet and masks and all that
shit. Yeah,
yeah. I had to have the fucking pop filter on your fucking
mask. Switching the microphone condoms.
Yeah.
And all that
shit. It was like,
it was brutal.
I think it was like KC. She like did a show. She like headlined here.
Yeah.
Or something.
Were we doing that here? Were we doing microphone condoms?
Yeah,
here?
No, yeah, we were. Definitely. We were, because I kept getting yelled at for forgetting to do it.
Yeah.
I would forget.
Jawa was the motherfucking repeat offender. He was always like too close and or mask half off, talking to you, spitting at you. So calm down, bro.
All the shows in Atlanta shut down. All the ones, the Skull closed up. Like everything that I did was just gone. And it was fucking brutal. I remember I went to Nashville and was doing a bunch of shows in February of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of open mics everywhere.
Yeah.
And we were sitting around all these conferences. This is bullshit. It's nothing. This disease is a bunch of nonsense. Nothing's going to come of this. And then like by the time I got back to Atlanta, it was like the world's shut down now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember where I was. I was at a fucking local downtown. Motherfuckers just finished doing a comedy show. I had took a shot of Rumplemintz and was like, ugh. Fuck, and then I looked up and Rudy Gobert from the fucking NBA, he was touching all the microphones, and I was just like, that can't be a good sign, and my homie was like, no, we should be fine. I was like, you trying to get high?
Bro, that's so funny. Like, to me, that, like, the Gobert touching the microphones,
like the next day.
That is my association with, that's when COVID started.
Oh, yeah, that's like the next day.
The NBA was fucking on top of everything, right? Well, like, yeah, they're the first ones.
The next day, they were like, the NBA will stop all games. We're like, this is pretty serious. And then Michigan shut down, and then Cali shut down, and I'm like, oh, yeah. No.
It didn't occur to me until like the World Health Organization comes out and goes like, we're calling this a global pandemic. and then I looked at the comments, because I was like, okay. And then the first comment was like, is this bad? And then the only reply under it was yes. And I was like, I guess that's bad.
Oh shit.
Oh my god.
Yes, period. That was it. And I was like,
I mean, dude, we definitely lived in a different world for a couple of years.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's honestly crazy that it was 4 years ago too now.
Yeah.
Like, I owe my comedy career probably to COVID, or at least my club's career. Yeah. Like, I was the only place that you could perform comedy indoors in Hollywood.
Wow.
Like, we just, like, you know, We got the fucking room, put a sign up, and then the first night, it was just every single open micer, like, you know, in Hollywood, you know, once they got the word, it was just like, boom, you know.
Flooded.
And I was like, hyenas. Holy shit. And then, you know, after it kind of opened back up, then you get some regular competition, shit goes back to normal. But in the beginning, like that first year, you call it, you know, my fucking golden year, I didn't have to do any promoting.
I just opened
the door, like, you know, it looks like a fucking frat. It looks like Animal House with a stage and a microphone.
Yeah. Like 100 beers.
And it was just
Was it all masks on? Everybody's got their masks on?
No, we did, because we don't have to follow any rules. I mean, that was just
right,
look, if you want to come, come. Like, you
come
know,
in. Is drink, that, is, whatever.
Yeah.
Like
there's the bar. If you want to buy a drink, go. Yeah.
Yeah, we are about out of time. We at 59 minutes and 10 seconds.
Dang.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Nicely done.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want to thank y'all both, Adam Smith, Mr. Fake Name.
Oh, yeah, old nonsense. Appreciate y'all having me.
And my boy, Tommy Oller, once again.
Hello.
Goodbye. Do y'all have anything you want to promo before we end the show?
Anything to plug?
Not really, not at all.
Adam's in town.
Beer on the head on Instagram. Follow at
beer on the head.
You pour beer on your head. Tag yourself. Yeah,
He'll follow you back.
At Tommy Oller, Instagram, TikTok.
Right, Tommy's got
the TikTok.
Tommy has a goddamn library of sketches. Go check him out.
It's funny shit.
I'm in a few of them. You know, the best ones.
I gotta do one. Put me in another sketch.
You wanna be in another?
I wanna be in another one.
Okay, cool.
Hey man, count me in too, bro.
All right.
Fuck yeah.
All right. This has been another presentation of the world's greatest podcast. I'm happy to say I love all of you. Good night. God bless you. And finally, vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios, everybody.
Vaya con Dios.
I'll catch you on the flip side.